May 23rd, 2018, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show. Brother Matt, how you doing?
Excellent, excellent.
We're on a Wednesday. It's Gray May. Usually by then it's burned off.
We haven't got much of a break on that.
No. But June gloom coming up, so maybe it's part two.
Come back to back.
Right. Yeah, people who come either to SoCal, they trip out on that. Hey, I thought it's always sunny. Hey, how about ocean next to mountains, clown? The desert behind it. Brother Matt, but we're not alone because through the magic of those engineers in Estonia giving us Skype, I guess bum-rushed by Mr. Gates. Did you hear read that thing where he said he was talking to Don Trump and he knew a lot about his daughter?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Trip. I don't think about Bill Gates a lot. I don't think about that other guy either.
Probably got binders and binders.
Anyway, we're joined from Albuquerque, New Mexico, a hawk and a hacksaw, Jeremy and Heather. And right off the bat, Brother Matt asked me the question that I was ignorant of, Jeremy and Heather. Which one is the hawk and which one is the hacksaw?
I wish we had a dollar for every time.
You get asked that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, sorry.
I started the band as a solo project, and had I known that it was in a duo, I would have never used that name.
You know what, Brother Matt? I don't think it's coming out here. Oh, yeah, because I don't have the speaker hook. Hold on, people. This is a real life fuck up. I forgot to hook the speaker trip to the...
It's just one plug away.
Yeah, to the goddamn computer. And now you'll come out of speaker. Talk now, Jeremy. Heather.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
New world.
My world is different. Sorry, people. Slow learner. Right in public. You got to watch. Yeah. You know, Brother Matt has much experience with this. That's why you don't hear clams like that from him.
He's got to get a new level on it.
Level? I think his level's good now. Cool. Speak?
Hello.
Yes.
Send it out some clams? Yeah. I don't want to hear any more clams.
No more clams. Yeah.
Giant isn't that what Buddy written about his...
You know about that? The tapes?
Yeah. Okay. You guys are playing clams.
I think everybody... Well, you're blowing clams, right? I hear one more clam out of you, and you're through. Take me to the union. I'd love it. And then wherever you hear him saying, try me, because he knew a little bit of karate, right? And I heard he was a black belt in karate. What's that?
I heard he was a black belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So he knew more than a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen him use it, okay? It's always, but you hear the threat, you know, try me. What I heard was if he didn't get his motor.
I would want him paradiddling on my face. I wouldn't try him.
Oh, yeah, well, he had sticks. I mean, nunchucks?
Yeah, yeah. I'd be afraid of him.
Anyway, let's go back to the beginning. Who wants to go first? Heather? Jeremy, which one wants to go first?
Either way, you just shoot. Yeah, just.
No, it's dealer's choice. We're asking you.
Yeah. Just shoot the question, and we'll share the answers.
Yeah, I gotta ask you. These are specific ones.
Okay. Well, then I'll go first.
Okay, Jeremy, what's your earliest music recollection?
Oh, well, you know, when I was, I would have to say, I would like to talk about maybe live music when I was a.
Any kind of music. What's your first?
Yeah.
What's your oldest recollection?
Oldest recollection.
There's an echo in here.
Well, you know, one of the old recollections I have is just driving around in my mom's car. She had a 1970 Monte Carlo.
Okay.
And
I know Carlos. Those are the good years because they got big as boats after that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're huge. Yeah, huge cars.
So you're driving around, and what, you're listening to the radio?
I'm listening to Simon and Garfunkel in the heat in Albuquerque, you know, with no air conditioning.
Really?
Yeah, at Hollywood Bowl.
Brother Matt's going to see Paul Simon tonight, his last tour, right?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
Jeremy, was this over the radio, or was it a cassette or something?
Well, she had 8 tracks of the Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah, so that's what we were listening on.
Well, I grew up with 8 tracks.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's when I first learned the bass from Jack Bruce. Okay,
really?
So was there in the house, in the pad where you grew up, was there musical instruments?
Yeah, you know, my mom played piano and harp, and my grandma was a really, really gifted classical pianist.
So you had a piano in the living room.
Yeah, and then my dad, he played drums in high school, and he gave it up, but he taught me a lot of rudiments when I was a kid. I would sit on his lap, and he would tap rudiments, and then I would copy them.
Tap dance on the forehead. What, did your mom want you to do piano lessons?
Yeah, she did, but, you know, the A-team was on at the same time as my scheduled piano lesson.
Yeah.
It was my favorite show. I was so distracted I couldn't really focus on. I could hear my brother, you know, listening to the A-team in the background, and
ooh.
So I never was able to to focus enough for those piano lessons.
Well, that's rough.
Sadly.
That's rough, because that's not a very good show. It was filmed up here in San Pedro, by where I practiced at Fort MacArthur on the reservation.
Oh, was it really? That's
pity
funny.
The poor fool distracted by missing A-T. Anyway, do you think, looking back on it, you're glad you still took the lessons?
Yeah, I am, but I didn't learn a lot. But, you know, also I was just, I didn't really focus on music until I was about 12, and it was drums that got me going. And
What about records? Did you buy your own 8-track tapes? What was your first piece of music you bought yourself?
Well, early on I was really into, like, Run DMC, Michael Jackson, stuff like that.
What's your first record that you bought yourself?
It would have to be Thriller.
Okay, Mike Jackson.
Yeah.
It didn't
have
to be, did it?
It didn't have to be. Okay. What about gigs? Did you go to concerts? Did you...
I was going to talk about... The first concert we went to was at the New Mexico State Fair. My parents took us to see the Oak Ridge Boys.
Yeah.
And I loved the guy with the low voice.
Did you cut the shit and start the pit?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Way into that. Look, I'm going to play something here. No, I didn't say what we started the show off with. It's Sweet and Lovely by John Coltrane, the Thelonious Monk, and that this is a period where he quits dope, right? Good period. 33rd Street, house in Philly. And then we played from your new record, A Hawk and a Hacksaw with Night Sneaker. Now I want to play Baba Yaga. Thank you.
לבריד הראשי של תחנת שיבויה ומתפשטת בתוכי כמו קטם דם סואן. אני הולך שפוף, מסתער על הצומת, שלא על מנת להרוג אלא על מנת לעבור לצד השני, שהוא תמיד הצד הפחות נכון אבל עדיין מקום ממנו אפשר להמשיך. הייתי חסר מנוחה כל הזמן הזה, נתפס לי הצוואר, ולפעמים לא יכולתי לשאת יותר את תנועת הרכבות בתחתית, אך זכרתי שהייתי חופשי ככל שניתן בחיים האלה, ושאם כבר להיות פזור לרוח, אז עדיף בטוקיו. כי העיר מחבבת את כל המסטולים, המתהלכים במאה המפותלים, כאילו היו חיילים בשטח אויב, מחפשים אחר המולדת, אך נמשכים אל ההפקר, ילדים בשדה השיפון משולל התפסן, אוכל לסטורן הזוהם. זה היה נפלא ומפחיד וחסר רחמים, כפי שרק עושר גדול יכול להיות. לבסוף היפנים תפסו אותי וסילקו אותי חזרה לארץ. חשתי כמו שבוי שהוחזר למולדתו, מנוחם במידה ודפוס געגועים להפקר.
8 minutes go. So thank you all for coming down here. It wasn't easy to find, and I had like 3 emails from Andy telling us how to do it. But especially you guys back in the, they can shake their jewelry. You guys remember that? Beatles. Okay. The awkward silence in my mind is overwhelming me.
Taking shitty steps, and I'm too tired to get up and out of the way.
Walk for Pedro show. We started off with Baba Yaga from A Hawk and a Hacksaw. And then something brand new out of Cleveland with the Dewey Decibel System. Apple out of Perth, Australia. Brand new Stay In from Zero Dip. Brand new out of here, SoCal, Granny Four Barrel with Freak Flag. Which reminds me, debut gig of Afternoon Freak. The new project out with Danny Frankel and Matt Motel is the Freak Flag Fest. Brooklyn on Bloomsday, June 16th.
Oh, so awesome.
B-Day.
Awesome.
Me and Dirk are flying out there.
Oh, cool. Perfect.
Yeah, me and Dirk are flying to NYC for a week.
Nice. That'll be great.
I don't think I've been anywhere with him in like a long time, so that's just good. And record Raymond for the new sock.
Nice.
Then we had from Tel Aviv, farther south, Tokyo injects me like heroin. Bob Pollard out of Dayton. He, I think, retired from teaching.
Oh.
It disappears in the least likely hands. From Macedonia, Skopje, Vasco, out of Nasoski with Koga Tenama. A Raging Mule. From Massa, Wisconsin, that's Bucky Pope, Negative Example, live TV broadcast. Anthems of the Void, that's Own Slice, that cat, Brandon, his new project. A Witness, and then finally, The Washing Bear, A Hawk and a Hacksaw. Yeah, they call it, I think that's the word, raccoon, some native.
That's right.
Yeah, in Hungarian.
Really?
Yeah.
Raccoon is Hungarian.
No, well, the name of... The direct translation of the Hungarian name for raccoon is washing bear.
Oh, yeah, because I was going to say in Japanese, it's ariguma, which is wash bear.
Mm.
They don't have them.
Uh-huh.
But they got a name for them, like hummingbirds, hachidori bee bird. Uh-huh. They don't have them.
Uh-huh.
They should have a name, right? We don't have giraffes, but we can have a name. You know what they thought giraffes were?
Mm.
Unicorns.
Oh.
Their word is kirin. You know that beer?
Yeah, yeah.
That's supposed to be Ichiban. A fucking unicorn jumping around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ichiban.
Heather, your turn.
Earliest musical recollection was a tape of classical violin music that my grandma sent me for my third birthday.
Wow, you go back. I
can't
remember
shit. That's like all I remember that year.
Okay, so some classical violin coming off a cassette tape. What about in the house?
Yeah.
Was there instruments?
Yeah, we had a piano, and I started violin when I was 4. So we had violin. My dad played a little guitar, acoustic guitar.
There'll be music in the house, but some people are listeners, some people are players. So I always ask that out.
My parents they just played for fun, you know. But
that's okay.
Yeah.
That's what I try to do.
Whose
idea was the violin at 4 years old? Yours?
Well, it was my mom's idea, but I think she saw how I reacted to violin music and thought it would be a good idea.
What's the first record you bought?
The first record I bought was probably, I'm trying to think.
There's probably no wrong answer.
What's that?
There's probably no wrong answer because I wasn't back there then.
Well, when I was like 11 or 12, there was like this special on PBS about the Beatles. And then they released these CDs for them. So it was like a compilation of Beatles music. And I think that was the first
Beatles.
CD I bought.
Okay. Do you remember the first gig you went to?
The first gig I went to was the Melvins opening for Tool.
All right.
In Burke. In 1995 or 6.
Oh, around the time of, what was that bar called? Durango?
In Albuquerque?
Yeah, because I played there. With Dave.
Yeah, I remember when you played that. I was in high school. Not the Golden West, but
no, it was a small little bar called like Durango or something.
The Dingo Bar.
Dingo Bar. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember. I knew you were in town, and I couldn't go because I was like a junior in high school.
Oh,
but
I was
I remember
in town many years before that. The Minutemen played. I remember going to the pad. It was in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, get this pad was called the Garage. right? That uh-huh. said on the paper that Chuck Tukowski gave us. And we're in this neighborhood, and like, where the fuck is the pad? And the address was a pad. So I go up to the hatch, and I knock. I go, where's the garage? And the lady goes, it's in the back. Yeah. It was the fucking garage. That was my first Berkey gig in 1984.
Did so you I know where that was? You have any idea what neighborhood it was
some
in?
Some dude's house. His mom was running the place. There was a Jerry's Kid in Albuquerque then. Not
yeah,
just the
exactly.
Boston one. And we played with them. That's what I remember. You know what I forgot to ask both of you? Did you guys have music in school?
I'm pretty much self-taught.
Yeah, but like music, like chorus or the school marching band or shit like
oh,
that.
Oh, you know, yeah, I didn't have any of that, but we did have this weird little class called Rock Workshop that I was in, which was just kind of led by a really great history teacher who didn't really care what we did, and so we would just like cover songs and try and write our own songs. But yeah, there was no marching band at my school or anything like that. Very little music education.
That's trippy that the history teacher's running the music
thing. Yeah, yeah.
But that's how fucking pathetic
he's a good drummer.
School systems are. Yeah, what's his name? Let's give him some credit.
His name's Paul Ryder. He's a good drummer, and he was turning us on to all kinds of weird stuff back then. He's
no,
the first person
no
who told
greater,
me how to...
There's no greater had, gift. There's no greater gift than a cat that can turn you on to fucking happening.
Yeah. Yeah, in like 8th grade, he was telling us about Roland Kirk and, you know, stuff like that and African music. And so, yeah, he was a good.
And what about you, Heather? Did you have any music in school?
Well, I took lessons and I was homeschooled kind of off and on till high school.
Okay.
And then I was in the choir in high school, but there was no orchestra at my school, but there was a marching band, but I didn't play wind instruments. So.
It's all different to everybody. That's why I always ask these questions. Because I really do
yeah.
think music should be part of school.
Yeah.
It's just the arts period.
Yeah.
You know, painting, singing, hollering your head off. Whatever the fuck. Let the freak flag fly, you know. So, okay. What about bands? When did you guys first start playing? Hawk and a Hacksaw ain't the first bands you guys been in. What was your first band? Jeremy?
I started playing in a band when I was about 13, and it was kind of through that Rock Workshop program, and then we just started, you know, we just became a garage band.
And you were on the drums?
Yeah, I was playing drums, yeah.
Okay. What about you, Heather?
I started playing in bands in college, so I was like 18, 19.
Yeah. And what'd you do?
I actually played cello and keyboard in my first band.
Wow. Kind of eclectic. What were they called? What were they called?
That was called Soma.
Soma. Like in
Soma. F.
S-O-M-A?
F-O-M-A.
Yeah, it's like Aldous Huxley, the stuff they ate in...
yeah, the magical dream.
Yeah, catch you all like spaced
yeah.
out, right? And happy. Jeremy, what was your band called? The Rock Workshop Band?
We went through a lot of names. The one name we had for a while was Arjuna.
Arjuna, yeah.
You know who Arjuna is?
No.
From the Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita. Oh,
yeah.
That's a
yeah.
big Hindu
yeah.
Sanskrit trip,
yeah.
right? It's kind of a big war in the guy's head.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. God, how old were you? You got in that shit young, huh? All right.
Yeah, young, 14, 15
much
at that
respect.
Point.
Do you remember your first gig?
Yeah, well, we used to play a lot of house parties, probably kind of like your experience
sure.
in Berkey, actually. but the first, like, real gig was at a bar in Albuquerque on a Wednesday night, and I was a junior in high school, and I snuck out of the house to go to it. I didn't tell my parents. I told them I was going to the library to study, and then, of course, we went on at, like, 11 at night, and
very late.
You know, out next, they were really pissed, but the show was good, and at the end of the show, the waitress just handed me a pitcher of beer, just like, here you go, here's your beer.
Whoa. So
did yeah.
you do that, you brought the pitcher home to mom and dad?
Yeah, I should have.
Still cold, pups. What about you, Heather? Your first gig?
We played a lot of house shows, like outdoor in a parking lot.
Yeah, we can only talk one at a time. That's the way Skype works, sorry.
Yeah.
In college, the urinals, I don't know if you know about that old-timey band, but they started doing dorm gigs. Did you do dorm gigs?
That's a good idea.
Heather?
Yeah.
Did you do dorm gigs?
I never did a dorm gig, no. Okay. That sounds interesting and fun.
Yeah, especially 1977 hardcore punk. You know, I'm a bug, you know, black hole, that kind of stuff. But anyway, so what was your first gig like at one of these houses?
Yeah, it was just like a big party, and everyone was drunk and talking, and we just played, and yeah, it was fun.
Okay, so it was a positive experience. You see, my first gig, I was shitting my pants.
I was really nervous, too.
Oh, you were? Okay. What about you, yeah. Jeremy?
Well, yeah, I just remember, I just had a recollection of, it wasn't my first gig, but one of the first, like, when we were in high school, somehow we got this show playing at like a college party at somebody's house, and we set up in the yard, and I had to go find an outlet for the PA, so I was looking around. I went in the bathroom, and there were these metalheads in there doing coke, and I was like, 16 years
surprise.
Old. It was weird. It was a weird scene. And
no, that shit
played.
Happened, Pedro, too. You didn't even have to be a metal guy.
Yeah. There's something about metalheads doing coke that's, I don't know. But anyway.
Pedro Stoner guys, there's something about that, too.
Yeah. We played half a song, and the cops arrived and busted the party, and that was it.
Yeah, but you broke your water. You're from Polywater Shellback. Much yeah. Respect. Success. Congrats. Now, Brother Matt, we're at the end of the first hour, May 23, 2018 edition, Wap Pedo Show special guest, Hacking a Hacksaw. No, Hacking a Hacksaw. Time hour, dude. May 23, 2018, it's the second hour, the Wap for Pedro Show.
break of dawn, to get in the engine that makes the world go on. Same old routine. You grow tall through the wind. You sleep in soft when tired of the street.
Here comes Friday. Here comes Friday. Here comes Friday.
Don't get me shy, I don't go tonight. Do the stuff, flip in the game. You go on a grand way to long lost friend. Found the hangover, hair of a dog. Had a cold day till you sleep like a log. Monday night, your life is sad. The Tuesday morning, you're feeling really bad. Sick on Wednesday, had to take a pill. Thursday night, you start to get a feel.
Here comes Friday.
When we lie and grow, when her hand. That's how I ended in this way. I hate.
Gentlemen, let me introduce you to the next song. And it's not a song about God Almighty. I got a rabbit in my pocket and I want that rabbit to jump. I got a house full of people and I want those people to jump. I got a neighbor complaining and I want and I want that rabbit to jump. When I feel my rabbit, I want my rabbit. When I want my rabbit, I want my rabbit to jump. Like when I feel my lover, I want my lover. When I want my lover, I want my lover to jump.
Watch from Pete. Our show started the second hour off with a song for old people, song for young people. Ah, see, it has a second part. I didn't know that. A Hawk and a Hacksaw, their new record. Then The Doers after that out of Vancouver with Mrazek's Opinion. Gecko Turner. We got some stuff from Spain. Love Monk, great label. Gecko Turner, Here Comes Friday. Pajaro, bird. Sunrise, Podesta, huh? This one. Here Comes This Place. Ginferno, Mambo, Rabbits. Sadie Garcia from Dead Couple. Rio Niger from Pyramid Blue. And finally, The Magic Spring from A Hawk and a Hacksaw. So let's get into this Hawk and a Hacksaw story. What was the beginning?
Well, I used to play drums in a rock band, and when I basically right out of high school, I started touring with this band, and then it kind of fell apart, and I was
you ain't gonna name this band?
Yeah, I'll name it. It's called Neutral Milk Hotel.
Oh yeah, the singer man had me and Georgie play in England with him.
Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, we were at that festival too. We were there the same weekend.
Oh man, and I didn't know it.
Yeah,
I came over and knocked my shit out. No, that was a joke. Okay, so you play with Neutral Milk Hotel.
Yeah, and so we did, a lot of touring.
He's not a Berkey guy, right? He's not Berkey.
What's that?
That band was from all over the country, right? Because he
was
from Berkey.
Yeah, he's from Louisiana, and we met through a friend who I opened when I was in Albuquerque. When I was in high school, I opened for a touring band that put me in touch with Jeff when he was looking for a drummer. So right out of high school, basically, the next year out of high school, I moved to New York with Jeff, and we started touring with that band.
Yeah.
And then,
you're like a professional musician.
Yeah, kind of, with no money, though. You know, we didn't make any money for a long time, the whole kind of first part of
sometimes. I hear that's the case. Sometimes that happens.
It's hard to say you're professional when you don't make any money at all, you know?
So. Well, it's not like you ain't trying. It's like just the audiences aren't into it. They don't have that understanding yet. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you're trying. You're trying.
You
gotta
talk them in. Yeah, you gotta like kind of impress them and stuff. And then they subsidize your endeavor. So still, let's get to the story of the Hawk and the Hacksaw.
Okay, so the band, after we recorded the second record, we toured and everything's okay, and then the band just kind of stopped, and Jeff decided he wanted to, like, you know, live in a forest away from everybody for a while. And so I kind of ended up living in Europe, and I was in France, and I just was searching around for something to do, kind of a new thing. I didn't want to play drums anymore, and I started playing keyboards it became a recording project, and in the course of it, I rented an accordion from a music shop, and I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the way accordions feel and sound, accordion's an interesting instrument because you're hugging your instrument, you know, kind of like, I guess, like an upright bass is like
or
that.
A cello.
Yeah. Or a cello. And so it's right there. You feel the vibrations of the sound in your chest while you're playing it.
Like the keys or the buttons?
And it's portable, you know. So.
Brother Matt just asked, keys or the buttons?
Oh, I play a piano accordion.
Cool.
Yeah, with the piano side.
Actually,
yeah.
My second man, organ man, Pete Mazic, start off on accordion.
Yeah.
Here we got a lot of Croatia Slav guys in there. Big accordion tradition. Yeah. Also the Italian guys. Big Eastern European music. And you know it's portable and all that. But I still don't understand how this led to a Hawk and a Hacksaw.
Well, I was just recording and working on, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was kind of like playing accordion, playing organs and multi-tracking in a little studio.
It's a one-man band, and then because Heather's not in the picture yet. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was in France, and then I put out a first record, and I toured a lot in Europe,
It wasn't a duo.
No, it was just solo, yeah.
So it was kind of an ironic band name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then after doing a lot of stuff in Europe, I ended up just coming home, and I wasn't sure if I was even going to stay here, but I came home to New Mexico, and I was working on recording, and I met Heather. I was looking for a musician to work with. You know, I needed somebody to work with, and I read about Heather's band in the paper, and I went to see her play. And the band that she told you about, FOMA.
Oh, okay.
And our first conversation, I met her and I said, you know, I knew she played violin, and I just said, you know, how do you feel about Béla Bartók? She said, he's one of my favorite composers. I love him. And at that point I kind of knew that, you know, we could figure something out together. So we started playing and it just worked.
I saw Béla Bartók's Magical Mandarin conducted by who's that guy? The Yellow Shark, Pierre Boulez.
Oh wow!
He dedicated his piece to this guy. The only Frank Zappa I kind of like, and it was an intense. It was at the Dorothy Chandler here downtown, and the guy Michael Preussner took me to it. He brought me up to the front row because you could do that, I guess. And man, it blew my mind.
Yeah,
it blew my mind. So what was at first, you guys, she had to learn your songs.
Yeah.
Okay. So you didn't start composing. She had to learn the catalog.
Yeah. At that point, it was a small catalog.
So. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So do you remember the first Hawk and a Hawk and a Hacksaw gig? Do you remember
the first? Sorry, the first song.
No, the first gig.
Oh, first gig. Well, the first gig
with you two
as a
together. Yeah, as a duo.
Yeah, well, we did some shows in Albuquerque again, like house parties and stuff. And then, she was still in college, but we did a tour of Sweden in January while she just basically left school, and we went over there for about 3 weeks, traveled by train throughout Scandinavia, which was awesome. That was kind of like that's when we really became a band, you know, playing every night and dealing with touring stuff. And so.
So. Once Heather gets in the band changes, right?
Oh, completely. Yeah, completely.
Because before it's just a vehicle for you to realize your kind of expression, right?
I never had any ambition with this project. It was just a thing I was doing in my garage, you know, and that was I started it in 2000. It's been 18 years that I met Heather in 2004. Okay. And so it's been amazing that, you know, to continue like this. I never expected this to happen. This was just like a little thing I did, you know. I guess I just planted a little seed, you know, and I never expected it to grow.
So your original fans embraced you. They didn't say, oh, you're a duo now.
Yeah.
Well, there weren't very many original fans, so. But, yeah, they were cool with it.
They're cool with it? Just making sure. Some people, you know. They say, be careful of burning bridges.
yeah, that's true.
But you know what I don't want you to be careful about is submitting yourself to the spin cycle, because Brother Matt, would you bring that?
Cool.
Something real groovy. harmful fungus often found attacking rye plants. This fungus contained lysergic acid, which Dr. Hoffman was processing in a variety of ways to see if he could find something to tone up the nervous system. One of the formulas he compounded was designated as number 25. It was not until 5 years later that Dr. Hoffman discovered that his formula 25 was a psychedelic drug. While working with it, he accidentally inhaled some of the fumes. Within a short time, he began to hallucinate. He wrote that for 2 hours, he had fantastic visions of extraordinary vividness, accompanied by a kaleidoscopic display of intense color.
Thank you.
excitement on the various aspects of LSD-25. And there was so much adverse publicity concerning it that the Sandoz Laboratories took it off the market. However, it was known that this compound was not difficult to produce. So it was not long before the formula developed by Dr. Hoffman was being clandestinely passed along the corridors of certain university chemistry labs. It also began to come into the country from bootleg sources in Europe. Of course, a normal dose of LSD is so potent and microscopically small that it is easily concealed. Because it is colorless as well as tasteless and odorless, it is extremely difficult to detect, especially in a liquid solution. In a single ounce, there are approximately 280,000 doses. This means at the going rate of $5 per dose, an ounce of LSD-25 would be worth approximately $1,400,000. In liquid form, LSD has appeared in small ampules, right on up to large bottles labeled mothball. Sometimes it may be found in crystalline form and packaged in capsules, or it may come as white powder and in the form of tablets. The latter are usually dissolved in a sweet liquid, or in water, and ingested. Or the liquid may be soaked into a cube of sugar, an animal cracker, or a candy wafer. It has even been found in chewing gum and the gum flaps of envelopes. A common cigarette can conceal $50,000 worth of LSD, or 10,000 doses.
So much. That was righteous. What made you do what you just did to us today?
Little leftovers from last week.
Right.
With the fingerprint by Schmeichel, the drug-oriented history lesson with the Alfred Hoffman's recipes
stuck
in there subliminally.
Little history lesson. Dang it. You know, it's kind of like going through the landscapes.
Yeah, a little ethnicity in there.
Yeah. And, you're going to get some ethnicity going back to the old country.
Yeah.
And some Italy.
Yeah, and some Canada.
And some Canada, too. So some Europe and North America.
It's nice not having to go someplace you don't want to go every day.
Right. And also there's some maybe electric therapy.
Yeah, it'll be a trip.
Check out something to help different. The ribs.
Yeah.
Yeah, people puff. Good wishes towards Brother Matt. I didn't know 30 years ago he got pounded by some waves in Hawaii and his ribs got broke, so he's got perpetual pain. And it'll be sometimes like, what'd you say, is it sometimes a stab, but sometimes a...
Yeah, well, in the ribs, it's just, oh, man, how do you...
Just from turning.
Like, yeah, turning, laughing.
Laughing, yeah. Getting punished for laughing. That's like, being married in prison.
There's definitely better things.
The belt loop. Yeah. Jeremy, Heather, you think guy's Aaron Berkey?
We're here, yes.
Okay, did you get that house payment?
Yeah, it's done. Everything's done.
Yeah, well, the spin cycle we calculated, so it's just about there. You guys just made a video, right?
Yeah. Yeah, with this wonderful director, Peter Strickland. Have you heard of him or seen in any of his films?
I might have not known it.
Yeah, he has a film called The Duke of Burgundy that came out a few years ago that's pretty amazing, and he did a film called The Barbarian Sound Studio, which is about, it's kind of a horror film about a sound engineer who travels to Italy to work on like a low budget horror film. He has to do all these sound effects, you know, for murder scenes and stuff, and he kind of goes crazy.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Ah, so I gotta check it out. Brother Matt knows it.
Yeah, it's a good film.
Well, yeah. And what tune did you do the video for?
The Magic Spring.
The Magic Spring.
We
just played that. How fortuitous. Yeah, we played it right before Brother Matt's spin cycle. We're at the end of the second hour, May 23, 2018, edition of Wapito Show. Special guest, Hawk and a Hacksaw. Hold tight for hour three. May 23, 2018. It's the third hour. What for Pedro's show? Watt from Pete. Our show started the third hour off with a hawk and a hacksaw doing a broken road line with poplar trees. What can you tell us about that, Jeremy, Heather?
We wrote that song. It's kind of based on, well, we did some traveling in Bulgaria and Albania, and coming home from that trip, I ended up writing that melody, and it's kind of, I guess it's like really influenced by music from Albania and, you know, former Yugoslavia, or the land of the southern Slavs. So it's
just actually Albania's own country, so is Bulgaria. But the Macedonia guy kind of shares both. And that's a trip, because the next tune I played, because I kind of heard that, is called Unison by the Mystery of the Bulgarian Voices. A lady from Dead Can Dance got really intrigued by Bulgarian chanting and singing, and she made a whole record out of this.
It's just really beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, it is, it is. That's righteous that you can draw from influences like that. You know, some people, they get so caught up in genre, you know, they forget that music is music.
Yeah.
Then we had from England, Lucy Lee with Head Tape, Nano Fake. Remember, I had this problem, Brother Matt. It's spelled N, number 8, N-O-F-A-C-E.
In a face, yeah, I remember those.
In a face?
The face. I just remember it ended with face.
Yeah. How do you say that first one? N-8-N.
Nanny Face.
Okay, Nanny Face. And Tucha. And then we had Ghost Car out of Colorado with the Night of Thousand Bruises. Or is it Oklahoma? Or is it Dallas, Texas? I think the cat's from all three places.
Spread it around.
Where he was there. Yeah, spread it around. And we got a Croatian guy who's living in Geneva now, Neno. We call him Neno. And he's got a band called This Click with Slash. And finally, the Shepherd Dogs are calling. A hawk and a hacksaw. And was this Balkan stuff too? The Shepherd Dogs?
Yeah, and this has a clarinet. The melody is played on clarinet by a good friend of ours from Istanbul, who's a Roma clarinetist named Jeanette Sepece.
Yeah.
And we've put out two really amazing records of his. He plays kind of Turkish wedding style Roma music.
Sure.
And I can send it to you if you want to hear it. It's really, really
amazing. I'd love to. I mean, that whole part of the world is trippy because you have different traditions coming together, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Kind of a crux.
Yeah.
Kind of a meeting point, a crux. I enjoyed it. I still got to play Montenegro and Bosnia, but I've played all the lands around there that you've mentioned. And I'd like to do them again, too, of course. But I still got to get Montenegro and Bosnia to get the whole, whatever you call that, the whole Balkan.
Everything.
Trifecta.
Yeah.
It's more than trifecta, though. There's like 8 or 9 of them. They're all interesting. They're all, you can tell that they share a lot of in common, but they all have their own little distinct things.
So exactly. Yeah.
Oh, you just got back from tour, right?
Yeah, we were in Europe for 6 weeks. We just got home.
In what parts of Europe?
We did a lot of shows in Italy, and then Scandinavia, and 2 weeks in the UK, and Holland, and Belgium, Turkey, and
Berlin.
One show in Berlin, and then Switzerland.
Okay.
Look,
there's this tune, The Sky is Blue, The Desert is Yellow.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Are
you the blue part?
That's another one.
Is Heather the yellow part?
What's that?
Are you the blue part? Is Heather the yellow part? Is the hawk the desert? Is the sky the hacksaw? I mean, a lot of mystery. You know, some people don't like to explain their songs. You don't have to if you don't want to, Jerry.
Yeah, well, you know, this record is all instrumental, and we wanted, you know, I think you can say a lot without using words, but it's nice. We wanted to set the scene for the music.
Sure.
So, you know, we worked really hard on like coming up with titles that we felt like reflected or would try and lead the listener towards, you know, something. And so that's why it's called that. It's kind of about, in a way, that one's a little bit about New Mexico, the landscape around here, but also the landscape in Turkey, like in Anatolia and stuff. And
sure.
That one is influenced by Turkish rhythms, and it's actually it's a variation on a scale that a guy in Romania showed me. That's
you know what's
story.
Tricky about Balkan music is that seven shit. I had a device to do it because I had to record some stuff. Taco taco burrito.
I like that one.
You know they play oompa, but in seven. It's like whoa.
Exactly.
It's tough. Let's listen to the sky is blue, the desert is yellow.
Thank you. Drove like a man possessed, 900 miles in 2 days. Just had to make it. And so, at last, long last, I am here for the love. Truly a place of happiness, a relief for my weary heart. Sure, it's tough to lose someone, but the hardest thing of all is to let your mother pass. Who could I love more than a woman? Well, my mom is tops to me. What gift can I give? There is nothing I can do. She rests comfortable now. I believe I will have the faith.
Only one.
Thank you. What you think about that? Now you know how I feel. Say you can handle my love. Are you for real?
Are you for real?
Don't be hasty. Give you a try.
Give you a try.
You really fuck me, that'll say goodbye.
Well, now here's the story from A to Z. You wanna get with me? You gotta listen carefully. We gotta up in the place. Who likes it in the face? For see, look and see who likes it in the
easy me. She's a real lady.
And as for me,
well, you'll see.
Well, somebody down and wind it all around.
Everybody down and wind it all around.
If you wanna be my lover, gotta get with my friend.
With my friend, and that forever.
Friendship never ends.
If you wanna be my lover,
you have got to give.
Got to give.
And it's too easy, but that's the way it is.
Well, somebody down and wind it all around.
If you wanna be my lover,
somebody down.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show, the last music for this edition. We start off with The Sky is Blue, The Desert is Yellow, Hawk and the Hacksaw. Then Joe Brewer out of Madison, Wisconsin with a poem called Faith. SS Space Systems, upstate New York. Uneme, The Lake of Monkeys. Wannabe from the Spice Pistols, that's down San Diego way. Four Dimensional Nightmare out of Seattle, Dark Matter, Dark Energy. Evil Hearted You out of East LA, Home. And finally, Alexandria, A Hawk in a Hacksaw. How do people find out about you on the internet?
About us?
They don't know how to find out about Brother Matt. They just know the Water Kingdom. But what about you guys?
We have a Facebook page.
Yeah,
but what if that shit goes down? You have a backup, right?
Yeah, we're...
You know, everybody puts his fucking bass eggs in the fake look basket, man. Watch out, okay? That happened with the My Waste of Space place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well,
overnight, just what? So, you
come
know,
to Berkey. Just come to Berkey and look us up.
I don't want to get all like, philosophical and stuff, but I thought when the internet came that everybody would have their own webpage and it would be the same analog as a fanzine. Like, nobody's in the way. You don't have Mr. Zuckerberg in between you. No,
You know we have a website. We have a website for our label. It's lmduplication.com.
Say the URL for the people. Spell it, please.
Lmduplication.com.
So that's lmduplication.com.
And on there's a lot of releases from the Balkans and kind of all around the world. That we put out in the last 8 years.
You know about Veliki Balkan? That's Brother Vasco's label. This guy's put out like 40, 50 releases. You got to
No. Check. Yeah. Maybe you could send me the link. I would love to check it out.
Yeah. I just put out with it was called Jaded Azurites, a 5-song EP on this label. And you know, last year I put out a 4-song for Record Store Day, 7-inch, with Croatian band, Serbian band, Macedonia band, and then Pedro band, the Croatian guys.
That's cool.
And in fact, on the, I don't know if you know about Disciplina Kičma, but they go back to the 80s when they were called, it means Charlie Chaplin, Acobaros, Soro Acobara is what they call Charlie Chaplin. And his bass man named Koya, you know about him? He's incredible.
No.
He goes way back. He's a pioneer from their punk scene from 35, as old as me. And I got to hang with him like 5-6 hours last time I was in his town. And he's just the greatest guy. He plays a bass like Jimi Hendrix.
He's
just something else. Yeah, Stanislav turned me on. So, you get a hold of me and I'll give you a link to this because, because of some recent history, people think it's all crazy there, but there's actually lots of righteous arts and stuff coming out of there.
It's crazy everywhere.
That's right. And we're all like dangling, right? If we don't be careful, it's just good. The apple cart. Because I remember when that shit happened, I was over there, and it was just like that.
I mean,
there's little rumblings. And, okay, so people, you can find a hawk and a hacksaw at their label there. Presence on the web. Your next plans? You got another tour coming?
Yeah, we're leaving in a week, and we're doing a West Coast tour. We'll be playing in LA on the 15th of June.
Where? I leave the 15th of June. I got that one week. Trip in New York City.
Okay. Because
his birthday is June 16th. Yeah. Where are you going to be though?
Resident.
Do we know that place, Brother Matt? Where is it? What town? What part of SoCal?
We're looking it up real quick.
There's a lot of new shit now.
Yeah.
Downtown LA now they have gigs. I played a shoe store 2 weeks ago with Josh Hayden and Danny Frankel. It was a shoe store. We played the basement. 8th and Broadway. You see Heroin Alley. And it's fucking this gig. There's a record store block. Things are changing here in SoCal.
Town.
You know, in Pedro, we're like 30 miles south of Hollywood. Mm. We're kind of in a, like, stable zone. Things change real slow.
Neutral Milk Hotel played there, actually, and you were out of town then, too,
Was it Harold's Place? Or was it
We played at a theater, some kind of theater there.
Wow, maybe it was... What do you think, Brother Matt? That little fish? Little mermaid or shit?
Possibly.
That's now in the impound law.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's like kind of a classic old school theater.
Oh,
pretty
might
big.
Have been Warrior Theater.
Wow.
Wow, that's where me and D. Boone saw The Exorcist. That's the first time I saw a guy have a epileptic seizure in the lobby.
Wow.
I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. I thought that was the other part of the movie. Yeah. It was scary. That movie, man, a little girl cussing like that, never saw that shit before. Look, I wish you and Heather all the best. I love your music. I love what you're doing. You're learning shit by doing. It's bitching.
Thank you so much.
And you're a great example to everybody else to get out there and let the freak flag fly. Just doesn't have to be in a fucking fest 3 days in June in Brooklyn, man. I think it actually comes from Abbie Hoffman in the 60s, or maybe Country Joe and the Fish or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been a pleasure to have you on, and I love it. And can't wait to come through Berkey again, huh? I-40, I-95.
Yeah.
All my Kachina dolls are from downtown on 6th Street there. A lot of them. Yeah, that guy goes and he collects from the reservations and shit.
Yeah.
Most of them are Navajo, but they're bitching, man. They dance. When we have earthquakes, they dance.
Yeah.
Okay, it's been the May 23rd, 2018 edition of Wafa P. Roast. She'll keep your powder dry.
Yeah.